Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Well, howdy, howdy. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for April 15th, 2017. And my guest for the show today is Robert Smith, who is a professional health consultant and will be sharing some of his unique experiences working with both hypnosis and a more advanced technique called EFT, which is an acronym for Emotional Freedom Technique. I'm sure that many of you listening have heard of EFT. Leading holistic health experts like Bruce Lipton have been proclaiming phenomenal benefits with the EFT modality for emotional, mental, and physical healing. So thank you, Robert, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Welcome. Happy to be here.
Robert, years ago you had some experience with hypnosis as a therapy modality, and you shared with me over breakfast about a month ago how hypnosis for past life regression has more or less proven that reincarnation exists. Could you share that story?
Sure, I can. That story was about a clinician that was working in the field of hypnotherapy, invited to a psychiatric hospital in the Northeast. And he was in there as a guest to see if hypnosis could help the patients there. It was a local farmer that got informed of that. He went in and asked this hypnosis practitioner if he would regress him because he had these vivid dreams that he didn't understand. He agreed to do that, and so this man that was a local farmer had an eighth grade education, so not well aware of the world at all, came in and a hypnotist regressed him to the last life. He became so lucid, which is not always common, that he was able to talk to the hypnotist about what was going on, what was he was experiencing in such a dramatically lucid fashion that, in an inspiration of, I think, pure genius, the hypnotist asked him to write something.
Yeah. So
this man spelled out this letter in crude block letter. General that was riding on a really nice horse, and they were going off to battle and different things that were going on, and signed it Jamie Brewster. Well, that really intrigued the hypnotist. He said, can you come back next week? And so subsequently, this man came back. The hypnotist regressed him to succeeding lifetimes, and I'll shorten the story up
some of those lifetimes.
Later. But he, say it again?
Yeah, some of those lifetimes.
Oh, the lifetimes, yes, he went back to being a banker in old England, and he asked, the hypnotist asked him to write him a note. So he wrote this note in something to do about banking, and he wrote it in perfect old-style English. Well, the hypnotist was so intrigued with this, he had part of the staff, the psychiatrists in the staff, witness this, see the guy write it, and then initial the paper. Well, they had it inspected, and yeah, this is actually old-style English.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's intriguing. So he took him back another lifetime, and he became a famous Italian. Wrote in Italian. Now, remember,
he wrote a note in Italian.
A sixth grade eighth grade education. He wrote in perfect Italian.
Huh.
Again, the psychiatrist witnessed this, initialed it, so we know it's authentic.
Uh-huh.
He went back another lifetime to being in Greece, being in the banking industry again. Again, hypnotist asked him to write this letter. Write a letter. And so he wrote something out about banking again in perfect Greek.
In Greek.
Again witnessed.
Yeah.
He was regressed to being a Roman in the something to do with the storehouses in Rome. He wrote Roman. Perfectly.
Wow.
They regressed him back to being in Egypt. Again, he was working in the Pharaoh's storehouses, as I recall. It's the first time in history anyone had seen anyone to sit down and write a note in cuneiform.
Cuneiform.
It matched perfectly. Egyptian writing.
Yeah. Wow.
Then it got really interesting, Christopher.
Yeah.
He went back another lifetime and claimed that he was on the continent Mu and wrote a note in this language that was Meruvian, which I recognize from my studies here and there and everywhere to be part Egyptian and part Hopi.
Really? All the way back to the last camp. That was before Atlantis.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't recall whether he had gone to Atlantis or not. I don't remember that part. This is where it got really fascinating for me.
Uh-huh.
He went back the last time and wrote a note which was illegible to the modern-day people. And he talked about being on a starship on the way to colonize Earth.
Really?
Now, that language looked on. I've seen these documents. It's in a book. Very difficult to get right now, but it does exist in a book. The letters looked like old-style English.
Really?
Or the forms. I couldn't tell whether they were letters or not.
Uh-huh.
But, so that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's reincarnation. That was a witness. Each time they had these documents, these letters that this eighth grade educated farmer from New England wrote, they had them examined by experts. They were all authentic. They were perfect.
So how do you explain
that? Which is real curious. There's one, what I believe, I'll let the listeners out there in listener land, I'll let you make up your own mind about this, but I would invite everyone to hop onto YouTube, fascinating thing that it is, and look up Maria Callas. If anybody's old enough here to remember Maria Callas, she was a very famous opera singer.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she passed on, as I recall, in the 70s. But she is on YouTube. If you will first look up her singing O Mio Bambino Caro. That's My Dear Father. That's an old famous opera. So if you look up her singing that, listen to her sing that, and then once you've done with that, look up Amira, that's spelled A-M-I-R-A.
Yeah.
The second part is more difficult. It's a Dutch name. It's Willehagen. Difficult to pronounce for me. Willehagen. Listen to that person sing the same thing. For me, it's a younger voice, but it's the same voice.
Uh-huh.
Now, the fascinating thing about this is a 9-year-old Dutch girl, and as we all have possibly heard, Dutch is not a melodic language. It's harsh. But this little girl, 9-year-old girl, decides she wants to sing something for the Queen's holiday, peruses YouTube, finds Maria Callas singing, sings the song, and then she claims, well, I sing it, and then I know it.
Huh.
I challenge anyone to listen to those two and not be absolutely stunned and try to give an explanation other than it's the same person.
I remember, I think I remember seeing that video. I mean, it had like 11 million views, but I didn't know the story behind it.
That 11 million views has gone to very close to 30 million.
Yeah. It's so unreal. Her voice is so just perfectly etheric, and the parallels, you say, are just uncanny, too.
Well, you can't get that voice out of a 9-year-old. You just can't do that.
How do you do that?
She's had no voice training. She just sings the song and knows it. Well, that, for me, that's pretty clear that, oh, well, did that before.
Or somehow.
So that's my story on reincarnation. I've done, I've had some, for me anymore, the past life regression, the hypnotherapy for reincarnation, for me it's sometimes useful. It's always amusing for me.
Yeah.
It's sometimes useful. I find that what I think we can lead into next is that, as you mentioned, the EFT is far more pertinent, far more useful, especially.
Yeah.
I just got done reading your last missive here.
Uh-huh.
And far more timely, far more crucial, I'll say. And right now I'm wondering how many of the listeners will be picking up a pen and paper, pencil and paper, to write down notes about what we're about to discuss, because what we're about to discuss has the potential not only for changing their life, I'll say that again, changing their life in the most positive ways, but more importantly, and maybe as importantly, changing world events.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people do you think will pick up pencil and paper to start writing notes? It is that important.
Yeah, you know, this is the subject. When Bruce Lipton talked about this, I wrote a lot of notes. I remember he had a whole series this last year, a whole series of videos on this. And
well, he did. Wonderful.
They were phenomenal, and the results with it, and as a modality of holistic healing, this, you know, would you say this is working with the subconscious body of emotionally charged beliefs that program our conscious thoughts unconsciously?
Yes.
So a subconscious body of emotionally charged beliefs, a subconscious body, that programs or bleeds through our conscious thoughts unconsciously.
Christopher, my perception of the brain, and this isn't from from Bruce or anybody else. This is what I've come up with. It's my firm belief that computers are patterned after our brain.
I believe that.
They're models of it.
Yep.
Computers work pretty much exactly like our brain works.
It's the biological model.
When we press a button on the computer, a program comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when somebody, you ever heard the phrase, somebody pushes your button?
I'm going to push your buttons.
When people get their button pushed, does not a program start playing?
Yep.
Now, that program may have absolutely nothing to do with the current person. Nothing to do.
Right.
And if when people get their buttons pushed, which is another less elegant way of just stating what you said about the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
When people get their button pushed, if they'll stop a moment and say, well, what does this remind me of? Who does this person remind me of? Where have I heard this before? Almost always, without fail, I've had people say, oh, that's just like my, well, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Like my mother, my father, my brother, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, when somebody gets their button pushed, it's just like pushing a button on a computer. Well, that brings up a program. So we're a composite of programs. And that's really useful to understand in those terms. And it's very useful to understand just how conditioned we are. And if people want freedom, and this is where it really gets important on a global scale.
Uh-huh.
On a global scale. If people want true freedom, the answer, I believe, lies in the conscious awareness of conditioning. Can I back up a little bit? In the way of, if you don't mind, let me back up.
Okay.
I want to get things really clear and really straight and really get people started off on the right foot with EFT.
Okay.
First and foremost, my name is Robert Smith. I am not the Robert Smith that you will find if you look for him on YouTube with EFT.
Okay.
That's not me. Okay. I studied with the originator of EFT, Gary Craig, and I would encourage everyone to study Gary Craig. He's the one that developed it, although he's not the originator of EFT. It goes back millennia. And I'll explain that in a minute. But anybody interested in EFT, and I trust everybody will be once they're done with this. Make notes, everybody. EMOFREE.com is his website. Okay. Emo Free, Emotional Freedom.com. That's Gary Craig. So when I studied with Gary Craig, I believe it was 2002, and if people remember that far back, we were in a war.
Yeah.
One of the seminars I was with him was about serious illness, and it was a long, intensive seminar on much of what Bruce Lipton has followed up with, how to use EFT to positively affect serious illnesses and keep ourselves from gathering those up. So at the end of the seminar, he was asking for questions, and I got up and said, my question, Gary, is we have seen over this weekend how elegantly EFT works for serious illnesses on a personal basis. Is there a way that we can apply this to global situations? It's the only question of the entire seminar he didn't answer. He said, thank you, Robert. Let me get back to you on that one.
Good question, yeah. What happened?
It took him 3 months. He published his answer globally. This is so important. This is so fundamental, important, crucial that we understand this. His answer was, well, the number of people have asked me about how can we use EFT for war. I love his answer. I'm going to paraphrase it and add a little bit of my own just for my own
adjudication.
He said basically, we will have external war as long as we have internal war, because the external is but a reflection of the internal.
Yeah, I believe that.
If you think about America, America has a war on illiteracy. We have a war on obesity. We have a war on
poverty.
Bathroom grime.
Bathroom grime.
That's my addition.
Bathroom grime. Yeah.
Well, America has a consciousness of war.
Yeah.
And the only place that can come from is the consciousness of the people that reside here. So to a greater or lesser extent, when we start looking inside and asking ourselves, where do I have war within me?
Yeah.
What am I at war with within myself? And when we collectively as a people can transform that, then, God love Gary Craig, then we will experience unconditional love.
Huh. That was
Gary is a fascinating man. You would think, well, this is psychology. This is advanced psychology. Well, no, it's a lot better. So Gary must be from the medical field or something like that. No. Gary's history is unique in the whole alternative medical field in that he is a Stanford-educated electrical engineer.
Huh.
That hardly fits, does it?
Well, it is the bridge to the energetic universe and the bioenergetics that correspond to the biological model in the left and right hemispheres of the brain, which is back to the computer as a brain, actually the computer is an extension of the brain, just like telephone is an extension of the ear and the television is an extension of the eyes and the ears, and the clothes are an extension of the skin, and a car is an extension of your feet. The computer is an extension of the brain, and the read-only memory, the RAM and the ROM are like the left and right hemispheres of the brain. And so the whole biological model, and it's called biomimicry. You know, the computer really is a biomimicry model of what's going on in the field between the left and right hemisphere, the upper brain, lower brain, and the forebrain and the rear brain, which is like foresight and hindsight. There's these dimensional aspects of the holodeck between the ears. You know, the field. You know, of consciousness. And of course we know that some people, they go into fear in the lower reptilian brain, and some people go into faith in the higher you know, crown chakra, and the light of the infinite internal, you might say, descends from the top down into the pineal gland, which can you say is like a prism that refracts the light of the infinite and the eternal into the full spectrum of the here and now, from, you know, left brain linear logical brain to right brain intuitive nonlinear, you know, hemisphere. And it's really like the masculine and the feminine, you know, within us. And when there's warring in the members between the left and the right hemispheres, and your masculine side's not getting along with your feminine side or vice versa, you know, relationships aren't going to go well with anyone else. And EFT really is dealing with that at a core level, as I understand it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bringing things into balance. Well, there's... Thank you for that, because that leads to oh, by the way, I wanted to give a little history there, I promise.
Okay.
Believe it or not, EFT has its roots thousands of years ago. And when I say the origin of it, actually, people are going to recognize it immediately, but never thought of it that way.
Uh-huh.
The origin is Qigong.
Qigong?
Yeah. Chinese people practice it daily, mostly out of the sight of tourists.
Yeah.
But daily, Chinese people go out to the plaza in the morning, and Qigong is, if you watch it, it's body movement and tapping, striking meridian points.
Really?
Same thing with EFT.
And neuro-linguistic programming, you know, there's the tapping that goes on with that, too, to anchor a new pattern, as I understand it.
Some, Perhaps. Perhaps.
Yeah. This maybe not a good analogy, but yeah.
A little more about Gary Craig, and then I want to go into that what you were just speaking of with the subconscious. Gary is the one person in the entire field, the originator, who still will offer you a free manual. He's offered it free for ever since he started it.
Really?
His purpose. A lot of people don't know this. Gary, once upon a time, had a various different names for it, a spiritual experience where he left normal consciousness and got to experience the universe as it truly is, one of unconditional love.
Cosmic consciousness.
Viscerally experienced that.
Huh. Did the energy go up his spine up and Kundalini rise up through his chakras and that kind of stuff? Or
Interested in that, I would invite them to find out about Gary Craig, and I think he wrote about it. The important point is his purpose for starting EFT was to clear away the obstacles so that everyone could experience that. Because his determination is once everyone experiences that, we won't have any more wars.
It's like they become conscious of how they're conscious, and their conscience kicks in. And it's like that small voice within of yay or nay. It's like the Holy Spirit of discernment.
So here's, Christopher, this is straight from me. It's not from any of the books that I've done, the multitude of books and studies that I've done. This is straight from me. This is my version of human being 101 and where our conditioning comes from. If anybody has been around a baby, they know babies to be, what's the best word to describe a baby?
Reflective.
I use joyful.
Yeah.
Blissful. One of those. Babies are a perfect example of bliss until one of a couple of things happens. They get tired, hungry,
gets wet,
messy. Yeah. Okay. Babies are happy, blissful, joyful until one of those things. Usually, one of those three things happen. They get tired. They get hungry. They get messy.
Yeah.
Well, right from day one, Christopher, is that not where our conditioning starts? Because what happens? The baby makes noise. Somebody comes and fixes it. Well, hey, that worked pretty good. All I have to do is cry, and somebody comes and fixes it. That happened all day one and day two and day three and day four. And the whole first week of my life, when I got upset, when I was out of balance, all I had to do was do whatever it was I did, cry usually. Somebody came and fixed it. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's conditioning. Somebody's going to come and fix it if I do something, like make my needs known.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Okay. Right from birth, we become conditioned to have somebody come fix it. The problem started when something upset us and nobody came and fixed it.
Yeah.
And how many people can remember that far back? I can't. But I know it happened. I know later ones where I had an upset and I wanted somebody to come and fix it and nobody did. And unfortunately, I hadn't been to either Anger Management 101 or nobody told me how to manage upset. So what did I do with it? Well, for me, in my personal experience, I just kind of stuffed it, swept it under the rug, so to speak.
No.
So the short version is we experience trauma and we either get it balanced because that's how we're conditioned to bring me back into bliss. I need to have that trauma that I just experienced, that upset, I need to have that brought back into balance. And if nobody did that, that's going to stay there for literally the rest of my life until someday I can bring that back into balance.
It's triggered every time someone pushes your button. It's triggered again.
Well, yeah, we develop triggers. No, triggers are I think, the result of a trauma that we experience over and over again.
Yeah.
We experience a trauma and we make up a belief about, well, that must be how I am. You know? That explains so many different things. That explains how women, you know, you can pull an abused woman out of a brutal relationship, put her in a safe house. I experienced with this over where we live, Bozeman. Keep her there 3 months. You have to turn her loose. She'll go right back to it because it's what I'm trying to balance. We bring people into our lives to balance past trauma. People have asked me, well, why is it I remember all these horrible things and I never remember the really good things?
Stuff. Yeah.
So, well, because the good things don't require balance. That's your natural native state, is to be in bliss. It doesn't require balance.
Interesting.
So
it reminds me in astrology, psychology, how trines and sextiles are very easy, and people have a lot of those in themselves in relationships. They take life for granted because it just comes easy for them, but those who have the squares and the oppositions, you know, in their chart, in their astrology, psychology, personally and with others, relationships like that are, you know, squaring or opposition, it's what you're up against, and the relationship of and the balance thing is the testing. It's, you know, like the test is best. You know, that's the lesson to master.
Yeah. My understanding of relationship is we will pick, and I think there's a man, what's his name? Harville Hendricks has written a couple of books about this. We will pick the person that best represents the people that we've had upsets with.
Isn't that interesting?
If they're no longer around or they're no longer accessible, we'll find a surrogate.
A surrogate, yeah.
And let them push our buttons, and then we'll try to figure it out. Of course, if we're not conscious of that's what we're doing, then we never get it done.
But, yeah.
First time I really got a good experience of that was one of the along 2002. I was working with an elderly lady, 60. I shouldn't say elderly, I'm that age now, 68, 69 years old, came to me to manage pain. So we're inducing a nice, easy trance, and her head started jerking. And, you know, I'm always curious about things like that, so I stopped it. And I said, your head's jerking. She says, oh, I know, it does that sometimes. I said, well, why does it do that? I said, well, when I was 6 years old, so 63 years later, she remembers vividly, when I was 6 years old, my mother hit me with a board right there.
Oh.
So that pattern, that upset, that trauma exists 63 years later.
Wow.
Still operating.
Wow.
Still operating. Now, yeah. the magic of EFT, I don't know, you want to dive into some stories?
Yeah, I'd love to hear some.
Okay. Profound ones, Vietnam vets.
Okay.
I work with, I was going to on a short trip with a friend of mine who was of the Vietnam era, as I am. Traveling along in the car, the word Vietnam comes on the radio, and he goes, I am not exaggerating, catatonic.
Really?
I said, are you okay? And the best he could do was shake his head, no. Couldn't speak, just kind of, to his best of his ability, just curled up in the car. and stayed that way until we got to where we were going. That's how severe just the word Vietnam triggered him.
Triggered him. Jeez.
So, yeah, talk about a powerful trigger, one that will put you catatonic for what he described later. Said sometimes it would last 2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days.
But I just couldn't function.
Yeah.
When the flood of memories came, I couldn't function. So I offered to offer a little assistance there with tapping. And we did. Part of the this is just the wondrous part of EFT for me. I had no idea what he was experiencing. Now, that's where it juxtaposed with hypnotherapy. I need to know everything. If I'm going to facilitate change in someone through hypnotherapy, they need to go back and relive it.
Yeah.
Yeah, icky. Icky. Yeah. Don't want to do that. With EFT, I've helped people change what I have been told were major events in their life, and I still have no clue what it was. No clue. I just know how to do the procedure. I know how to ask the right questions and proceed.
Yeah.
So with this gentleman, we spent one of the longest times I've spent with EFT. We spent a solid 3 hours. And when we were done, he looked at me clear-eyed. He had come out of his catatonic position. He looked at me very clear-eyed. And with as much emotion as maybe he was telling me, he went to the mall and stopped at Applebee's for lunch after, bought a pair of pants in the mall, and then I filled up the car and came home. With about that much emotion, he told me stories, horror stories. I mean, horrible enough, like, well, we were in, true story here, we were in this Jeep, my buddy had gone in to get a drink, and there was this little kid that came towards me with his hands behind his back, and I ordered him 2 or 3 times to stop where he was, or I'd have to shoot him. He didn't, I had to shoot him. When I did, a grenade behind his back blew him up. That grenade was meant for me. But to shoot a little kid, a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, creates trauma.
Yeah.
With the use of EFT, he was able to tell me that story clear-eyed, as though he had just told me a story about going to the mall. And I,
wow.
Looking through notes bit ago.
It was diffused. Yeah.
Diffused, exactly. There's no longer that
charge.
That trigger.
Yeah.
It had disarmed the trigger. So EFT is disarming triggers. Disarming triggers.
Disarming wow. Triggers.
Everything that happens to us, Christopher, I believe, in the world of triggers,
mm-hmm.
is subconscious conditioning, and it operates exactly like a phobia. If people understand, if they have one, or understand people that have one, when people have a phobia, like a simple one, like a mouse runs across the floor, they're on somebody's shoulders or as high as they can get. They have no physical control over that. They just do it.
Yeah.
And nearly every trigger that we've got, when my boss yells at me, it's just like something that happened in fourth grade. It's just like that, and I have no control over it. So the beauty of EFT, it disarms those triggers. So this Vietnam vet was a major, did 2 tours of duty in the medical field in Vietnam.
Wow.
He wrote me a letter afterwards and said, you know, it's a nice flowery letter, and said, thank you. It's changed my life. I no longer have any reaction to those memories. In fact, it was 3 or 4 years later, I asked him about, how about those memories from Vietnam? He goes, what?
What memories?
What memories? He gained the ability to discard them. They're no longer useful. They're no longer part of his life.
Yeah. They're no longer running him.
Yeah, they're no longer running his program.
Yeah.
There's another vet that I spoke with a few years ago from, where he's a Gulf War vet. I've never met him. Right now, I don't even recall his name. He's from Florida. I had an EFT session with him over the phone. He had no idea what EFT was. I just explained where the tapping points was and made him promise to tap on those as we spoke along. And yeah. I didn't even know what his trauma was. He didn't describe it. I just trusted that he was reliving it in his mind. As he was reliving it, I was having him tap with, you know, I'll suggest a few little things here and there along the way that inspirationally come to me. But at the end of that phone session, he said, well, war sucks. That happened. Yeah, I'm okay with it. It's just stuff that I had to do.
Now,
so those are some of the more profound ones.
Let me catch you on this second. We got a little time lag on the phone. I meant to catch you on this. The tapping on the different places on the body, this, like you said, goes back to the ancient Chinese and corresponds to meridians, and it would be part of a therapy practice.
Absolutely.
That they had developed, yes. Dealing with the bioenergetics of the body and body language, and now it's all connected, and there's different meridian points. Like I worked with electroacupuncture in a clinic. Electrodiagnostics, and I know about, you know, the different meridian points that represent different organ systems and correspond to different bioenergetic, you know, mind-body connections.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to kind of insert that so that the validity and the tapping part of it and, you know, how this can be done over the phone. And I know different EFT practitioners are just as effective, virtually as effective, you know, over the phone as they are in person. You know, the way they can go through this and, you know, advise where to be tapping or whatever. So, excuse me for that, but go on, Robert. I'm sorry.
Yeah. One more story. You're familiar with Bozeman, of course, Bozeman, Montana. I was in Bozeman giving classes on another subject that I used to teach. But the doctor looked at my card and said, "Well, what's EFT?" I said, "Well, I don't have time to explain it. I'd rather show it to you." And we had about 15 minutes before class started. And she said, "Okay." I said, "Can you think of an event that happened with you that troubles you today?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "Well, how often does that trouble you?" "I think about it every single day of my life." And I suddenly realized, oh, shucks, I just hit Heartbreak Hotel. But forging on ahead, I said, "Well, can you condense that event into one word?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "Playground." And to this day, I have no idea what that means. No idea. But we went through an EFT routine just using the word playground. Playground, playground, playground. And did the EFT tapping over and over again. And I said, you know, must have been 10 minutes later. I said, "Okay, stop. Revisit that event." She said, "Oh, for goodness sakes, it's silly. It's just silly. That was a long time ago. It's silly now." Yeah, that's
that
a common
passed,
response.
It was gone.
That's a common response.
Wow.
And I let it go with that. I said, "Okay." I let it go with that. I saw her a year later, just randomly on the street in Bozeman. She came up to me and said, "Robert, do you remember me?" "No, I don't." She looked different. She introduced herself again. I'm Dr. I said, thank you so much. I now have a child.
Huh.
And it took a while for her to register just what that meant. I mean, it didn't mean anything to me, but for her, it meant that it's okay to have children now.
Huh.
It can be that life-changing.
Yeah.
So I'll encourage people once more. If you haven't written down yet, shame on you. Emofree.com. Go there and start studying. Another thing that I really love about EFT, Christopher, is, and I make a major effort, and so far I've been successful, when people stop with me, they have a tool in their pocket that they can pull out anytime.
Yeah.
Every time that they experience a trauma. And they can resolve it right then and there.
Well, I understand, and you've shared the story of how you can do this with animals with the surrogate. And I thought that was a hilarious story. Could you share that with the dog that was pooping on the carpet?
Yeah, I was working with this gentleman that I don't even remember. We were working with him for, I think we were on the subject of money or something. It doesn't really matter. The funny part of the story is, while we were working in his house, and his dog came in and took this humongous crap on the floor, and this guy exploded in anger and physically picked the dog up, threw him out, and came back in just steaming. I said, "What's that all about?" And he says, "Oh, that blankety blank dog. He just does that to piss me off." I go, "Oh." And then, you know, mischievous me, I can't let things alone. I said, "Want to change that?" And he goes, "What? Yeah, hell yeah." I said, "Okay. Pretend that you're the dog." He goes, "What?" I go, "Come on, you've got an imagination. You've got a good imagination. Pretend you're the dog." And so he did. And I led him through, this is where advanced training comes in, because I led him through what the dog might be experiencing with reframing.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was something like, you know, every time I come in here, Tom is just this big scary guy and he scares the crap right out of me and I can't help it. And at the end of it, Tom started laughing, and he said, "Yeah, you know what? I probably am pretty scary to the dog." Well, that was the last day that dog did that.
Really?
Now, did it change the dog? Did it change Tom? It certainly changed the dynamic between the two, which eliminated the problem.
Well, it changed the dynamic of how he was triggering him. And it stopped it. That's amazing. I wonder about the surrogate thing sometimes and how that can be applied in different ways. But that may be a subject for another show.
I'll very quickly answer that, Christopher. This is an age-old statement, and it's either true or it's not true. You take your pick. We are all one or we're not.
Yeah.
If you accept the premise that we are all one, then we are all connected energetically, which goes back to the very beginning of this program. Once we stop the internal war within ourselves, that has a ripple effect around the planet. And we have no idea how far that ripple and how wide it will spread.
Well, the quantum field science has taught us anything. It's that the way we basically think about and perceive the field is the results we get. You know, our intention, pure intention focuses attention with love's retention for conscious ascension in a dimension where a full comprehension.
Christopher, that's very complicated. I have a much simpler way of saying maybe the same thing. It's a very old Buddhist statement. It said, superstition will lead the mind like a magnet to its destination.
Yeah, that's true.
Be very cautious of what you're superstitious of.
Yeah.
Superstitious meaning whatever belief is held in your mind, that will lead you there.
Yeah, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And of course, I think we're seeing a lot. I think there is a phenomena with the, so to speak, veil thinning, you know, a frequency shift, the collective unconscious, the unified field or whatever, that there's a lot more of this serendipity, synchronicity, deja vu, effective sensory perception connection that's going on a lot more. When I say that, it's there's a lot of different aspects of it. And of course, it's what it's doing for a lot of people. It's triggering their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is
triggering their stuff.
A lot of triggering going on. Mainstream media, big media, and pushing all of our buttons these days. And that's why,
sure.
I mean, I thought this is the perfect time to do the show. It's a way to process one through one's own stuff. So one can be philosophically correct in their worldview at large. You know, and
mm-hmm.
So healing in the members, getting past the war in the members, you know, of course, begins with oneself. And, Robert, this was great having you on the show today. I think this is a good archival account of this principle of EFT and, you know, some related principles that will help the understanding of some people.
Well, allow me to end with maybe the most important part. America is, we are so focused on what's out there, our phone in front of us, the TV in front of us, the computer in front of us, the traffic in front of us, what is happening out there. You know, other people are doing da-da-da-da-da, whatever. And it's time that we collectively started looking inward.
Yeah.
Because I am so convinced of what Gary says is true. We will continue to have war until we stop our internal war.
Yeah.
And I've searched for 30 years. I have not found a tool that even comes close to what EFT can do.
I really believe this can be a major modality for basically
I've seen
getting
it.
Our act together individually and collectively.
Mm-hmm.
So, Robert,
yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome. Always
and,
good talking with you.
And so anyone that wants to more information, wants to talk with you about how this works, you know, what they might do if they were going to work with you, I'm going to put that information in the show notes that'll be up on the homepage, you know, the contact information.
Sure.
So
yeah, happy to talk with anybody.
You bet. And everyone, thanks for listening. Keep the faith, see the good, and make it so. Thanks, Robert. Talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.